Here, Lord, help us to commence with hymn 1095. Dearest of all the names above, my Jesus and my God, who can resist thy heavenly love or trifle with thy blood? 1095.
Holy Word of God, let us read in the Book of Psalms. We'll read Psalm 56, Psalm 57 and Psalm 142. In the book of Psalms, Psalms 56, 57 and 142. Psalms 56 and 57. To the chief musician upon Joneth, Elam, Rekokim, Mictum of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. My vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? To the chief musician, Eltashkith, Mictum of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Now if we turn to Psalm 142, Psalm 142. Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Let us pray. Merciful, most holy, blessed God, in whom we live and move and have our very being, oh, we seek thy face. Oh, we bless thou hast a face that rebel man may seek. The face of thy dear Son, oh, that blessed God incarnate, who we were singing of just a moment ago, Lord. And as we come here tonight, in all our vast need in this lower world of sin and woe and death stamped on all here below, and death before us all, everyone, Lord, we seek thy precious face and would call upon thee while we live here and seek unto thee for those everlasting blessings. Oh, for those things that shall endure beyond the grave, the Holy Spirit's work, and for the gift of eternal life and every grace that's in thee to be freely bestowed upon us. And, oh Lord, that we might know thee, have thee formed in our heart. Oh, we pray that thou wilt come and feed our souls tonight, that thy name might be as ointment poured forth among us tonight. We're real sinners. Oh Lord, our cases are so hard, too hard for us. We've got desperately wicked hearts. We would make honest confession, Lord, though we have to choose our words so carefully in public, Lord, where in private, well, we can tell thee everything, Lord, and it's terrible. And though we feel so ashamed, yet we must tell thee how dreadful we are. So help us honestly together to own up, Lord, that there are those things about us which are so terrible in thy sight. How obnoxious we must be to thee in all thy holiness and purity, and especially, though thou hast shown us so much mercy, been so gracious to us, Lord, and some of us can truly say, thy pardoning voice we have heard. Oh, we have had a little sacred glimpse through the lattices of the gospel. We have looked just briefly, as it were, for a few moments within the veil, and thou hast looked upon us, and we know thy smile. But, oh, we still love sin. It's a dreadful thing to confess. Lord, oh, do be merciful to us still. We know that our sins are against light and knowledge. We know, Lord, indeed, that so much about us is downright evil. And we wish it wasn't so, but it is so. We have to say with the apostle, when we would do good, evil is present with us. The good we do not. Evil would not that we do, in thoughts and sometimes hasty words and mistakes and slips we have, Lord. Oh, we do groan before thee. We do need the gospel. We need the truth and we need saving. We want the abundance of life. We may not live in a trifling, careless way, but we have to live by precious faith, and that we may be blessed with a larger view, and we may be blessed with more of the sweet sanctifying grace of God, to be given so much more that tenderness and brokenness of heart, Lord. Lord, we do pray that we may have a heart that values thee, really lives by faith upon thee. Oh, may we know what it is to be dependent more and more. Lord, help us now, but we do want the healing virtue. We do want the heavenly divine touch. Lord, we need thee to pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel. Want to hear the shepherd's voice tonight. We don't know our days before us. Some of us only may have a few remaining days. Others may yet have many years, all perfectly known and ordered by thee. But how we want reality. Want thee to be with us, Lord, to the end. Order our way safely. May we bring forth fruit. Oh, to be found ready for the kingdom of God. May not stumble upon death suddenly and sink to rise no more. But rather may we be prepared. And may we know, Lord, those doctrines to drop us the rain and thy speech to distill us the dew. Thy doctrine, thy speech. Oh, that we may hear the shepherd's voice in some a secret whisper. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Your sins, which are many, are all forgiven. Fear not, I am with thee. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Are there not so many exceeding great and precious promises? Run a real word in season of salvation. Heal backsliders, Lord. Restore the mourning souls unto the joy of thy salvation. Come and give us, Lord, that everlasting strength. help us to be of good cheer, because thou hast overcome the world. And therefore, because thou hast overcome the world, we might press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And now we are met together. Oh, hear the groanings then of thy needy people, those who stand self-condemned, those who want thy great forgiveness, those who want another visit. Bless sinners here. Bless us tonight. Oh, may there be a suitable word from the Lord. Only the Holy Ghost can make it suitable. But may we know what it is for our hearts to burn within us. Oh, may we take something home. We long for the word of the Lord to remain more in its strength within us. Oh, we're so leaky. But what a mercy thou dost not change. We're changeable, shallow, mutable. Oh, we're turncoats, we're forgetful. But thou changest not. May we plead, Lord, personally and collectively. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. What can we say to these things, Lord? It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because thy compassions fail not, Lord. Yes, they're new every morning. Great indeed is thy faithfulness. Bless us now. Thou art a good God. Well, we come once again in all our filth and stink and wretchedness, but oh, we're coming to, oh, the Saviour. Oh, that the angels sang of thee, Lord. We plead it before thee, to those shepherds on the hillside, Lord. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. May we be helped to join the song a little. Glory to God in the highest. Unto you this day is born in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Art thou not called Jesus? Thou shalt save thy people from their sins. Oh, how attractive. Oh, what a wonderful statement. Is it not the most blessed report the world has ever heard? A Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. What saving we need. What saving we need tonight. What saving we shall need in all our remaining days. And Lord, what saving we shall need in a dying day. Save us into heaven, Lord. Bring us there safely. Oh, may we see thee face to face. May we among those that stand and bow among them there, and view thy face and sing thy love. Oh, may we look glimpse of the lattices tonight, Lord. Come where we are. We are but poor men, help friends in all earthly scenes of business and the domestic scene and the family circle. Many worries, many afflictions, many deep anxieties. Those that struggle in their soul, that know fierce temptation. Lord, may there be a word in season. Come and do us good. Oh, Lord, we pray then for our young and our families, the little ones. Bless each one, those with child in mercy, bring safety through. Oh, those, Lord, in the evening time of life, those indeed who suffer affliction, those who may feelingly be in a prison house in their soul. Oh, could there be a word of grace to each, we pray. Oh, nothing is too hard for thee. Lord, hear prayer then to make one in our midst. Bless this people. Grant them thy spirit. Send thy own Holy Ghost anointed ministers. With the thus saith the Lord. May there be a peculiar due power and unction. With the word, not creature authority, not mere the persuasion and of oratory, that would be attractive to us. But oh, to hear the divine instruction. Grant real things. Bless the friends here, bless office bearers, give much wisdom and grace and godly fear. Give them a single eye to thy glory. Bless every praying friend. Make manifest secret disciples to put on Christ and to do these things in remembrance of thee. Oh, blessed one, so worthy to be remembered. Always asking thee to remember us. How slow we are to remember thee, Lord. Oh, we do confess it. So, Lord, bless and multiply thy word. Gather others to them, such as shall be saved. And remember what we pray for our friends here. Pray for the brethren at home. Grant us thy spirit. Bless every precious soul, young and old. Oh, thy kingdom come. At this time of the year, Western Christendom remembers thy birth, though we don't know really when it was. But Lord, it is a tradition, may we use it rightly, in thy fear. Oh, we pray that thy name might be as ointment poured forth. Oh, we may view the wonders of redeeming love in my God, contracted to a span. This incomprehensible, everlasting God in his, the lovely person of thine own Son, contracted to a span, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, numbered among the transgressors, but now lives after the power of an endless life and reigns forever. Oh, the King of grace, the King of glory, the King of glory. Oh, may we bow down and worship thee and stand in awe of the mystery which we cannot understand and never will. Not even in glory will we be able to fully understand the incomprehensible God, but shall love thee with an unsinning heart and there worship thee in purity and holiness. Rest from our labours. Oh, there we should admire thee, commune with thee. Grant that we may be among them. Lord, we count it and indeed judge it to be a wonder of wonders if such a sinner should really be found at thy right hand. Ah, it'll be a miracle of miracles to this man, Lord. We believe there may be those here who can say the same. It'll be a miracle. Of all miracles, if my poor needy soul is really found at last, thy right hand, may we plead with thee, fill our mouth with arguments, trust the infinite merit and worth, and not let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. Before we close, we thank thee for all thy mercies. Oh, they're so great. Cup runs over, kind. Kind God, oh long-suffering, precious Prince, how kind thou hast been, how bad we have been. We don't like to say too much in public, but Lord, we sometimes feel that our sins are rather like unto those dreadful things that were done to thee. Though they did it with malice, but oh, we don't do it with malice or willfully. But it's our base ingratitude and we grieve over it. They spat in thy lovely face. And though we wouldn't do that yet somehow, it seems our base ingratitude seems all just as evil as what they did. Lord, forgive everything. Our whole human nature. Oh, hear prayer then, we pray, to grant a real touch among us tonight. And therefore we thank thee for all thy mercies, so good, so great. And Lord, we thank thee for the rains, the goodly rains, at least we've had at home this month, Lord, especially. We give thee thanks and pray it may work for a harvest We thank you for the warmth and comforts that we have. We really do. Thou art a good God. Oh, we bless thee for a hope in a precious Jesus. But now we must say no more. Come where we are. Make one in our midst, we beg. Pardon, Lord, our mighty sins. Bless us together. Wash us throughly. We plead thy tremendous, all-prevailing name. The wonders of grace. Oh, Lord, bring us safely through our lives and be that same God to us in the coming year, so thou art pleased to bring us into it as thou hast been this year and all the years of our life, for thou changest not. We plead thy precious name. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 582. High beyond imagination is the love of God to man, far too deep for human reason, fathom that it never can. Love eternal richly dwells in Christ the Lamb. 582.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to Psalm 56 and to verse 3. Psalm 56 and to verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56 verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The Lord in his wisdom has given his word the purity of the doctrine in the declaration of the Word of God made flesh and dwelling among us, and the perfect accounts of the lives of those who were sanctified by him and whom he's been pleased to place their record in the canon of Scripture, and also the expressions, the very heartbeat of faith, are found in the Word of Life. And the Book of Psalms particularly is a rich mine of the cry of the godly, but that is not merely shown in the Psalms, but throughout the Scriptures in the prayers and cries of the godly and elsewhere in the Word of God. So here David, in trouble. He had much trouble in his life, did David, sweet singer of Israel. We can clearly see some he brought on himself, like I have, and no doubt you have as well, from time to time. But others were those things that came into his life. And remember that if you're among that redeemed people of God, there is nothing in your life that is outside his government, by his overruling, by what he may bring himself, by what he may allow to come upon you as Satan seeks your destruction. And yet, I believe, as the psalmist proved, and may we also prove, I believe he most firmly will, that they will work for our good. And it works for our good if you really want God. If you really must find him. Oh, it really works for good, you know, my dear friends, if he is glorified in all things in your life. Because this is the very end of his dealings with all his people. For the pilgrimage is the very life of one who the Lord is laying hold of, has laid hold of, will ever keep and ever direct and ever order their way as they wander in the wilderness in a solitary way and find no city to dwell in. Yes, is it not by divine love and divine wisdom, in grace to you, that your way, your course, your steps are ordered? Despite all our sins and bad manners, oh, his love is an everlasting love. We shall certainly possess our sins, as the psalmist says, has made us possess our sins. And we do possess them again and again in bitterness of soul. And you find that here below it's a world of restlessness and confusion. Oh, it is a world of death and sin and sorrow and disappointment and frustration. A world where there is much weeping, A world that has no satisfaction in it. There's nothing solid, no solid substance upon which you can rest here below. And the sanctifying grace of God will so order our ways that we shall, as I said just now, want God. You'll want God. You'll want to find Him. You'll want to know Him. And as you journey, you'll need Him more. Can you honestly say you need Him more now than ever before? It's a good thing if you can. And why do we need Him? Because He loves you with an everlasting love. His love is so great, He's winning the affection of your heart. But apart from His divine and gracious dealings with us, He'd never win our hearts, would He? I'd never yield my heart to Him. Partially, maybe. Half service, yes, very willing to do that. One foot in the world and one foot in religion. But have all the heart or nothing. His name is jealous. Therefore, you see, He deals severally with His people, as you can glean safely from the scriptures. And here David in trouble, yea, when he was being pursued, in his time of distress, of course, being hunted by Saul also. And of course, the other psalm we read, the other two, when Saul was close, hard upon him. So in this verse through which I've named, it seemed to drop into my spirit this morning. I must confess I didn't feel I could preach from it and tried to turn out well, but it has stuck in my heart. So I must venture. What time I'm afraid, or trust in thee, is the very expression so often of God's dear people. God's dear people. There's only one place where there's no fear. Heaven. There's not a wave of trouble there. Oh, there are no mountains in front of those souls at rest, you know. Living waters gently roll there, as what says. Oh, they lie down in green pastures, don't they, my friends? And they gaze upon the Lamb. They're free. They're sinless. Their soul is expanded. Oh, my friends, they're full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, my dear friends, they've no restrictions. Perfect and holy. Oh, they have no want there. Here it's a struggle, a real struggle at times. If you're spiritually minded, you'll find this world is a struggle. It's a struggle to live here. It's a struggle to continue. Oh, the defeats and the defeats and the defeats in your soul. Oh, it seems again and again the victories of the enemy. Ah, then they cried unto the Lord. Oh, the victories the Lord has given you. And my friends, what He's laid in your soul. A knowledge that can't be erased. How do you know that Jesus is the Christ? Because He's draw near and blessed you. You've seen a glory and a beauty which flesh and blood have not revealed. But your Father in heaven has revealed Him by sending to you the Holy Ghost. And you've seen such a glory and beauty and felt your interest in Him. You knew Jesus Christ then by precious faith and saw by precious faith that one day you'll see fully with open eye. But, oh, my friends, it's an earnest, and you're on pilgrimage. And this is the way of many dangers, many snares, many pitfalls. But it being so exceedingly narrow, it's safe. And the safety lies in within the narrowness, doesn't it? Looking alone to Christ. Looking alone to Christ. With the warfare going on, the devil roaring, oh, black gloomy clouds, as it were, gathering storms or foreboding or forbidding mountains, impossibilities, guilt. Oh, this body of sin and death, looking unto Jesus, and often in groans and cries, but persistence. Eternal life is a wonderful thing. It can never be lost. I'm losing my natural life. So are you. Isn't that a solemn thought, my friends? And what I find even more solemn, there's something in me that doesn't want to lose it. That's very natural. Man wants to live on and live on, and we all do it, just the same, every one of us, naturally speaking. But we're losing it. Ah, he gives eternal life to believe. And this is the only way a man will ever overcome and willing to yield himself to God in life and in the appointed hour of death. Yes, it is as he alone is enabled by grace to look to Christ. And if the Lord is the author of your faith, you will give him the glory, because you know he alone can and must finish it. He alone will finish it, and he must finish it. Otherwise, we shall not get to heaven if he doesn't finish the work. Well, I must come to the verse, a rather long introduction. What time, I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Clearly, the God in the scripture knew many times when they were afraid. They were often in deep straits. But with life in their soul, they really poured out their soul unto God. Now, among us tonight, surely there are those that are afraid. It will vary from person to person. I have things here with me this day and this year that make me afraid, have made me afraid throughout this year. The Lord has in mercy often heard my prayers and brought me through. As we're spared to go into another year with those things that will make us afraid. But how expresses the very heartbeat of eternal life? I will trust in thee. I will trust in thee. Well, we'll try and consider first then those things that make the people of God afraid. Something of the fears the people of God have. And then secondly, try and consider a little of that blessed trusting in Christ. And not just in the exercise of it, but you must mention the object of precious faith, you see. Oh, the wonders of him who you trust in, the wonders of his grace, the wonders of his power, his love, his mercy, his faithfulness, his wisdom, his skill. You'll find, my friend, in your pilgrimage that the Lord can do everything. Child of God, the Lord can do everything for you. I'm preaching to myself. That blessed God, I wish I trusted him more, you know, friends. I really do. Ah, I believe he can do everything for me. And may you, as you sit here tonight, believe in your heart, in spite of your fears and your troubles now, that he can do everything for you. And try and consider on those last thoughts his covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Firstly, what time I'm afraid. He speaks here really of seasons, doesn't it, what time I'm afraid. There are times of relief when all fears are removed. There are times when the sky is cloudless. You feel that the Son of Righteousness has risen upon you with healing in his wings, and there he shines upon you. This is known especially in the days of spiritual youth. The Lord does, he does return and give his people tokens, you know. But you see, at what time I'm afraid. whatever time you're afraid and whatever is making you afraid, remember this: the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We read in the Psalms, don't we? Around Psalm 93, 96, 97, so on. Oh, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And my friends, it is a warfare, and the captain of your salvation, his ear is open, and his eyes upon you, and he giveth more grace. And it he that alone, as the psalmist tells us, teaches your hands to war and your fingers to fight. He gave God the glory. He only got through by the Lord teaching him, the Lord helping him. What time am I afraid? Where can we begin? What time am I afraid? The hidings of his face make us very afraid at times. Does the Lord hide his face from his people? Many Christian folks you meet, you think, well, of course he doesn't. But if you read the Bible carefully and prayerfully, you'll see there he does hide his face from his people. And if you are one of the sons of God and being led of his Spirit, you'll know his appointed times of hiding his face in your own case. There are many reasons for it, and I can't go into them all now, but one is our wandering hearts. We're an offence. I hope you didn't think I was saying anything wrong when making honest confession. I was trying to confess it during the day, so still fresh on my mind. When we consider the goodness of God and our wanderings and our wicked hearts, I have to confess sometimes, and I confessed it in public prayer tonight, my sins at least seem almost like unto or akin to that dreadful sin as they spat in his face. Now, I know a dear child of God won't really do that in the full sense with malice, but when you get a sense of his goodness to your soul, if you feel the strength of the covenant firm in your soul, you'll know at times you're as a beast before him by your ill manners and bad ways and what goes on in your heart. And you mourn. You mourn. And you know, if we go on in such ill manners, somewhat carelessly, the Lord hides his face. Then, you see, the Lord also hides his face in the trying of your faith. His purpose is to make the promise shine, and that you and I may be humbled under the trying of faith to know, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit and its everlasting love. And it's fully and completely and only everlasting love. That you are blessed and will be blessed and will come safely through. When he tries the faith, because he gives you faith to rejoice in him and know him as your Lord and your God, it may lead you in paths you have not known. If you walk in a way you've not walked heretofore, it seems though the promise seems hidden away. Think of Joseph languishing in prison. Think of the psalmist in the cave. Where's his crown? The Lord's prophet anointed him king over Israel. How will he get to that throne? The powers that be in this world, and very powerful, and he was like a flea, as he describes himself before Saul, upon the mountains of Israel, far from the promise. And you know, he prayed, hide not thy face from me, O Lord. Again he prayed the Lord would not keep silence with him. Well, my dear friends, we're afraid when the Lord seems at a distance from us. Another thing that makes us afraid, when we really possess our sins. Thou hast made us to possess our sins. And again, as Moses says, doesn't he? They set our sins before the light of thy countenance. We see our sins as they are in the light of God, before him, and they're before our eyes also. Ah, do you mourn in your houses apart, my friends, over your sins? We've much to confess. What time, I'm afraid. And of course you see the common afflictions of life. The poor minister have to go round from place to place. We hear afflictions. Have some solemn thoughts at times. Oh Lord, how much longer will my health and strength hold out? Afflictions must come upon us all, my friends. We hear perhaps one godly person taken home. Happy soul, really, you know. We miss them. They're missed in Zion. Good influence has been withdrawn, been taken from them. No doubt, indeed. Happy soul. Best for them, you know. Hard to view it that way sometimes, isn't it? When you're so cold and dead in yourself. And oh, when you realise somehow you're not ripening as you should, or you wish to ripen. When they've gone, or she's gone, he's gone. You hear of it, don't you? Or afflictions. I say things tremblingly, my friend. As I get older, I realise now more than ever before I've got a coward flesh. I knew I had in my younger days, but I'm much more of a coward now. The older we get, we seem to need more saving. And I seem to need more special grace given to me. Perhaps some of you don't understand what I'm saying. But I believe if you're spared, you'll begin to know something of it, you see. And the troubles of this world, afflictions, they make us see what else would escape our sight. We're frail, we're mortal, we're creatures of a day. God may touch our enterprises in a moment, mightn't he? Or we may be full of schemes, and they evaporate in affliction, don't they? Or we may have promised ourselves a little nest here for a while. Godly Job. He confesses he was in his nest. Godly Job. Godly Job, you can't say anything else, my friends. Because God's test is he feared God and eschewed evil. Ah. But he couldn't be left where he was, static in his true, godly profession of God. He was a true worshipper. Yes, there was a needs be in Job's life of those afflictions and trials. I say these things very tremblingly. There are needs be in all things in our life, you know. If you're a dear child of God, and we're afraid. And often you're afraid under many temptations. I'm hastening on because of the time. Afraid under so many different temptations. Thrust from the enemy. You get a sight of yourself and you think in your heart, Lord, I'm different to thy people. I'm so different. I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, make me one of thy people. They're so much more exercised and godly than I am. My wicked heart, Lord, where does it get to? What time, I'm afraid. It may be you are searched out to the beginning of things. Was it real? You look back perhaps to early days and, you know, in those first smiles in your soul you rejoiced. The trial of faith comes on. And you suddenly you're brought to face with some realities. You accumulated then without realising much flesh. And you know, the way gets narrower. The old minister used to say that Mr. Jabez Field, late pastor at Lamberhurst, said that to me over the phone once. I heard him say it in the pulpit, and others have said too. The way seems to get narrower. Now in one sense, it can't get narrower. There's only one blessed narrow way. I am the way, the truth. But to the experience of the soul, you know, you're brought right down, you see. I'm not a farmer, so I may be saying a few wrong things here. You'll have to forgive me, I'm only an ignorant man. But, you see, when the corn is really ripe, you see, if it stays too long, it'll weaken in the various weathers and go down, won't it? See, I know I don't understand these things properly, but the Lord knows when his people ripen for harvest. And they're narrowed down, really.
I mean, pardon my ignorance, but I would think in harvest time, really, it's suitable dry weather with sunshine. Obviously not too hot, but there, we don't control the weather. But I mean, you couldn't harvest in a gale, could you? Or in a driving rain. It's got to be a suitable weather, and a more gentle weather. And you know, I believe, friends, as we ripen, you just want the Lord. You just want the Lord. Everything else has to go, doesn't it? All the struggles, they're all behind. Ah, Lord, put in thy sickle. Friends, the Lord bring us there one day. Each one of us, you dear young ones. Lord, work in your hearts while you're young, and may you know your need. The Lord, when he comes to put in his sickle, oh, will you be ripe? All the issues will be gone forever then, won't they, over the years you struggled with. Sometimes you were right, sometimes you were wrong. Look back over all my struggles in my soul, in my earthly scene of providence and in the church of God. Oh, our mistakes. Sometimes you were right, sometimes we were wrong. One thing is needful, friends, to be safely gathered. Well, now I'm not getting on very well with this. What time am I afraid? Many things make us afraid. We're afraid sometimes the Lord will desert us. The enemy is good at many suggestions in your soul. It's not just the enemy either. It's your own wicked, unbelieving heart. There's that in us that will limit God somewhere. There's that in us, my friends, that is always going on a doubting. Oh, we're always doubting this and doubting that. But you want reality though, don't you? This is where the contest comes and the trial of faith really is. If the Lord does minister to your soul, the enemy's not far behind to try and destroy it. And that's where you see the real work of God in the earth. A people that are under the trial of faith and a people that are tempted, a people that are fighting the fight of faith. Whereas if faith is easy and at your fingertips and it's head knowledge, you see no conflicts. Not much of a sinnership. Obviously all men confess up to certain degrees their sinnership, because sinnership is obvious to conscience. But friends, in the life of God, you're such a sinner. Oh, you may express it just that way. Lord, I'm such a sinner. Pardon my sins. Pardon my iniquity. What time am I afraid? Now, fear is opposite, isn't it, to comfort and strength and the light of his countenance. But we don't live in a perpetual heaven in our soul this side of the grave. Even men like Whitfield, who was an amazing preacher, and preached with real power under the sense of the pouring in of the Holy Ghost. If you read his journals, the conflicts in his soul, the fastings, the weepings, the temptations. No child of God finds an easy pathway to heaven. There's always sowings of doubt, and you don't know whether it's from the enemy without or from what comes from within. Therefore, it's a warfare to hold fast. You see, God in his dealings with us will make us to know how holy he is. He may favour us in soul. Truly favour us in soul. But he deals in such a way, you'll be brought to tremble before the I am that I am. And yet hope in his mercy, in his blood, in his sweet grace. Friends, religion is no plaything, no trifling matter. God is holy. And my guilt is I have a trifling nature. How quickly things decline. How quickly my heart turns aside. And we're often afraid. You do well to be afraid if you've no soul conflicts.
You've indeed do well to be afraid of your profession. No temptation. No weepings over your sins at the throne of grace, my friend. You do well to be afraid. Because it is not a real religion. But dear friends, if you need all the compassion, all the mercy, all the help, all the grace, if you need, my friends, oh, forgiveness after forgiveness, help upon help, if you need that everlasting mercy to be ministered to you again and again in your soul, the Lord is dealing with you. Well, what time, I'm afraid, many things, and I can't touch upon them all. I want to come to this, I will trust you, but it's connected, isn't it? These aren't just fears away from the throne of grace. This is expressed at the throne of grace. Express your fears at the throne of grace, my friend. Tell the Lord about yourself. Confess what you are. Weep at his feet. The safest place to weep is at his feet. I know naturally in weeping we turn aside. If there's a bereavement, of course, of a nearest and dear, turning aside in the anguish as your heart flows out in rivers of grief and woe. But whatever our grief naturally, even in those solemn providential matters and all matters of your affairs and especially your soul, weep at his feet, my friend. I say there's no more blessed place than to really pour out your heart and tell the Lord that you can't continue. And that unless he appears, you'll sink. And unless he comes to deliver your soul, you fear you'll rise no more, that you're so undone. And tell him that your spirit and body will break under the trial. And plead with him, what time afraid I will trust in thee. See, here he's expressing conflicts of soul, real fears. Would he perish by the sword? He was being hunted. Very serious with him, my friend. When Satan's pursuing you, when Satan's stirring up, either around you or inside you, you get very afraid of yourself, don't you? Or what you may befall you by his spite and venom. Or perhaps your sins, you're so afraid. Will the Lord come and consume you with terrors? But you see, I don't want to dwell too much on that aspect in this. It's pouring out at the throne of grace. This is not bearing your own burden. My dear friends, this is not trying to get to heaven in your own strength. It's with your burden bearing down upon you. Faint yet pursuing, as Gideon and his men were, we read, they were faint yet pursuing. They pursued, of course, that case after the enemy. But here you're faint yet pursuing to him who sits upon the throne to pour out your heart. Read Psalm 1:4:2, you see, he says, I poured out my complaint before him, I showed before him my trouble when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then thou knewest my path. And as often as you come to the throne of grace, begin to have a sacred sense. Lord knows your path. He knows your path. He knows your path tonight, friend, where you may be. I will trust in. I do want to come to this very, very quickly. May the Lord help me to come to it. I will trust in thee, he says. This is a precious faith, a locked up, alone, in exercise to Emmanuel, who you believe in your heart, alone can do everything. And it's a precious exercise. It's an exercise unto life. Now this faith must have an object. And this faith only cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
when that word of God is made life, power, strength, salvation to your soul. I will trust in thee. You know, friends, in many cases, haven't we, in the scripture? I was only reading, eating readings at home, the apostle is writing to the Corinthians, being in the deep, stoned, and his persecutions, as he writes there, you see. He had all he could do was to trust in God as he went through those years of persecution and sorrow, one after another. You know, the dear people of God, they know in whom they believe. Can you say here tonight, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded? Of course, there the apostle confessed that he was able to keep that they committed unto him against that day. Are you committing your life unto him and against that day? Your life in providence and soul, your eternal welfare, which does mean the care of your body and the supply of your need, and sparing mercies to ripen for glory. Not sparing mercies to get on and enjoy a life which my wicked heart has those devices inside, I know. And there are conflicts there, and some of you may know those conflicts and guilt too. But you see, the Holy Ghost will bring these things with weight in your soul to be spared, to ripen for glory. And where does your help come from? Where are your springs, you see? I will trust in thee. Because if you have a God-wrought faith, you know where your spring is. You know where it is. So you may be in darkness today in soul. And a great trial. So you'd be in deep conflict. You have some providential, heart-rending trials which have blown into your life. Some may be living under a cloud of uncertainty about the future. But do you know in whom you have believed and are persuaded? Do you know where your spring really comes from? What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. We read, of course, David here had sinned in one sense. He hadn't followed the divine order. God had made a breach. Uzzah put out his hand upon the ox cart as the oxen stumbled and the cart shook, and Uzzah feared the ark might fall off. So he tried to save it, but God doesn't need saving. And God smote him, and David was afraid of the Lord that day. Lots of people are afraid because they see sins in their holy things. Sins in their holy things. We may live somewhat carelessly upon a promise, or really seal it in your heart. You say, well, it's impossible. It's not impossible. You may have sealed something in your heart, and at first you're tenderly exercised, but as time goes on, the exercise may wane, or you may just say, yes, I think the Lord will appear. There's not much weight or exercise with it, you see. That's one little illustration of sins in holy things. And David was afraid that day. But my friends, he still had the exercise to bring the ark up. And by the correction, so he was able to do so. And you know, you may be afraid under those corrections, but pour out your heart. Doesn't seem the Lord allow me to come to this, I will trust in thee. Well, may the Lord help me, and it's getting on to, it's nearly quarter past, and I must come to the clause I really wanted to emphasize. What time afraid, I will trust in thee. This trusting is the life of God in your soul, that believes verily thou art the Christ, thou art God alone. Therefore, you unlock your troubled breast at his blessed, precious feet, and you tell him all your complaint, and you confess all your sins, but you plead the fullness of his grace. What a privilege it is to trust in God. I will trust in thee. Obviously, there must be some sacred sense and divine knowledge given to you of the glories of that person. The glories of that person. The Holy Ghost delights to take of the things of Jesus and make them known. Lord, help just speak of one or two things that my dear friends, faith trusts in and trusts to. In him, in God himself, in God in the person of his dear eternal Son, as you pour out your heart. I was thinking and coming along of his infinite merit and worth. My dear friends, the merit of the Lord Jesus covers your whole life. And the merit of the Lord Jesus puts away all your sins. Covered, washed away, put away. Because his life was meritorious for you. You may plead his life. Your life is sinful and weak, and we come short in all we do. But you may plead his life, and faith does. And what is not of faith is sin. And look, Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. Therefore, in that life of faith, you believe in him and pour out your heart to him. And such is faith, you say, Lord, there's an ocean fullness of grace for my empty vessel and my leaky vessel. I'm empty naturally and I'm leaky. So, Lord, oh, let me tap that sacred holy reserve of grace, an ocean fullness of thy strength and thy help and thy love and thy mercy. Let me call upon thee. Lord, visit my soul and do me good and order my way safely. They aren't prayers for a month or two. They're the very prayers, or the substance of such prayers, all your journey through to get to heaven. Real cries for help from God. And may we plead his all-prevailing name. An all-prevailing name. This is the name the Father loves to hear his children plead. Your Heavenly Father is pleased with your prayers. When you plead, believing in the name of his only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. And be well assured that Jesus indeed has told us he'll pray to the Father for us. And my dear friends, as Jesus said, I knewest thou heardest me always. I knew that thou hearest me always. And for their sakes I said it. That was at the tomb of Lazarus. He ever lives to intercede before his Father's face, my friend. Give him, my soul, thy cause to plead, nor doubt the Father's grace. Plead his all-prevailing name. For, my friends, his name fills heaven with sweet savour. And it's those prayers that ascend in his name are a sweet savour in his nostrils. Trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus. You may plead that before God, what he has done for you in your little life here. Things at home and things at work. Friend at the table said, you may laugh at my prayers over a small thing. I didn't say anything then. I thought, yes, and only recently over a small thing. If you knew a little incident in my life, you'd think, well, you're being rather silly. But it was real to me, only just recently. I asked the Lord to help me in a little matter. And I had such a doubt, it was so small he wouldn't hear. But there it was, waiting for me. Well, there it was, that very night when I came home. Now, my friends, It wasn't a gift or anything like that, but I can't go into it. But I saw two things. Life's minutest subject to his eye. May we honour him in that. And that doubting spirit, you see. Satan has a good way of making you doubt the thing is too great. Satan has a good way, a subtle, wicked way, of course, of making you doubt it's too small and insignificant. You ponder how the ships are turned by a small rudder. But James says that in his epistle, doesn't he? And you ponder what a great conflagration an evil word suddenly spoken, only perhaps a brief word, can bring about in a man's life in the church of God. And my friends, what small matters are under his divine control for our benefit and for our help and our salvation. I'll trust in thee. May we trust in him to plead with him for what we need from him. To really trust and say in our heart, Lord, this is with thee. And thou hast promised these things. Lord, pour out thy spirit unto me. Grant me these things that I must have and must need, or I shall perish. And what do we need? More precious faith. More faith to trust. More faith to believe. And more faith to persist at the throne of grace. Some of you, we're walking in pathways now. The Lord helps, and he's helped hitherto. But there's an unknown certainty. And may we plead with him to go before us, better than all our fears, and grant that he may yet show his tender mercies more and more in the way and perform miracles for us. We may get safely through and safely home to glory. Lord, increase our faith. May we trust in thee. And may we be much more softened and made tender and meet for the kingdom of heaven. What sort of spirit do we want to be on in a dying bed, my friends? What frame would we want to be found there? Well, we want Christ, his love, shed abroad in our heart. Well, we want, my dear friends, a clean sheet in our conscience. And we need, my dear friend, all his sweet divine nature in its sweet exercise within you, so you may go in and see him. The old nature is dying. It's so wicked. It's got to die. Blessed be God, the old nature will die. We'll be delivered from it then. We want him to feel, you see. And may we, in the meanwhile, in our pilgrimage, ask for much of his forgiving love and his everlasting love to be shed abroad in our heart. We may walk in the spirit of his grace and his tender fear. Yes, we will want to be harbouring prejudice and an unforgiving spirit on a deathbed, will we? Behold, here withhold the blessing of the comfort then, you know. If you forgive not men their trespasses, will you, my heavenly Father, forgive you your trespasses? Lord, come and conquer my heart. May we trust in him. You know, my friends, concerning his divine will for us, his divine will, as we get older, you know, we realize that one thing gets more and more needful. And you know, my dear friends, what is his will? His will is our sanctification. He hasn't left it for you to do your sanctification. His will is that all those his Father has given him, he will not lose them, but they will come to him. And his will is their sanctification. And he will raise them up at the last day. In other words, he'll bless them. That's his will, to bless his people. May we ask, inquire for his good will. Dear child of God, he shows very plainly, by his own words and the words of his holy apostles and the prophets and the psalmists and the patriarchs, he is of good will. He delights in mercy. He does hear the honest confessions of sinners, and he does hear indeed their cries for mercy and their cries for help. And may we be able to commit all our way and leave our all, one so wise and so good. Maybe some here in a complicated situation, complicated trial. Now, you prayerfully ask the Lord to help you to turn to the Scripture, light on those passages there where indeed they were brought safely through. Yes, it may seem like a hair's breadth between their soul and death. The book of Esther's one, isn't it? Jonah's another. And Jacob's life is another too. Well, the Scriptures are full, aren't they? Complicated situations, and yet a poor man with all the storm blowing and no light, he looked beyond all time things to his God and longed to yield himself all to his God. May you and I be helped to do the same. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Oh, my dear friends, we do well to be afraid of our own strength and our own wisdom, but may we not be afraid to ask the Prince of Peace for his strength and his wisdom. We may be well afraid of our own hand and its skill. We need to be afraid of it. But may we never be afraid to ask for the Lord's gracious hand, his helping hand, his working hand, his tender, loving arm to carry us safely through our days. May we look to him who is the King of Grace. God is love, you know. God is wonderful, I must say. I'm not saying in a shallow way or sloppy way. No, hallowed be his great name, but he is good, he's good. He's been good to many, he's been good to many of you. And he can only be good, my friends. May we ask, trust in him for his grace. Yes, we're coming so swiftly to this year. This year seems to have whizzed by to me. They get faster as we get older. They really do. And you know, we don't know what lies ahead, any one of us. I say that very tremblingly. I've got a coward flesh and I'm very weak. But may we ask the Lord. Lord, help me. Bring me through into another year, Lord, safely. I don't deserve it. And bring me safely through that next year, if it can please thy kind majesty. And you know, it's a step-by-step, year-by-year exercise as we cross over from one year to another year, isn't it? And may we ever remember, my dear friends, that he's faithful. That's where I want to end. He's faithful. He's faithful. His covenant is ordered in all things and sure. And you know, my dear friends, your Jesus cannot lie. He's faithful that promised. He well understands, as that high priest, your aching heart and troubled breast. He knows the temptations that so overwhelm you. Himself was tempted, never overwhelmed by it, but he felt it. He knows you're just a weak vessel and you need him. How safe it is for a weak vessel to need him. And you know, when his hand seems to delay answers, or it seems though you have a little answer, a little help, and then a disappointment again, and you're back down, oh, as a poor man once more. Look, may we be kept from a rebellious spirit and say, dear Lord, thou hast helped me thus far, thou canst help me on my journey through. I believe you'll prove his faithfulness. These promises are sealed by his blood, friends. And the eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Therefore, what he has promised, he will perform. He's given his son, and his son shed his blood. He received him to glory. Therefore, you see, he's promised all things in him. It is a finished salvation, believer. And therefore, may believers here tonight and the minister wait only upon God in every matter. And may we trust in him alone. Well, I see it's 5:30. I must close. I haven't dealt with this as I perhaps had hoped or imagined, but I've had to go as I felt led here tonight. The Lord knows all these things. And may I not be afraid as I journey home, for the enemy no doubt will start roaring at me. And so in your life, you'll pass through many changes in your soul, but may we trust in him alone and plead his everlasting covenant and his all-prevailing name. What time I'm afraid in this life, with death on the road, I will trust in thee alone, who will bring me home to glory. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Lord, bless that which has been of the Holy Ghost and has been true here tonight. May there be some instruction for us and something to remain to be a help to us. May the word abide in some measure with us. And may we truly trust in thee forever. Now do take us under thy shadow. Grant us all safe journeys home. And be everlasting light. And may we know thee also as our everlasting rest. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pack on Wednesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 557. How sweet and precious is the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb, to sinners in distress. A name just suited to their case, pregnant with mercy, truth and grace, with strength and righteousness. 557.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.